Hey guys, in this episode, me and Marcus go on down to Ecliptic Brewing, Portland, Oregon, and we sit down with the owner, founder, John. He's a great guy. Some of the stuff you'll hear really like ups his stock. He's just well-rounded, nice guy who just really loves craft beer. So, hope you guys enjoy it. So, John, how did you start this whole Ecliptic scene here? How did your idea start, you know?
Gotcha. Well, I've been, at that point, I've been brewing for, 20-something years. A lot of breweries in town at Hillsdale, at Miniman's, and Deschutes, and Full Sail. And every brewery always wants to have his own brewery.
Yeah.
They don't know why, necessarily. But a lot of people, I don't have my own brewery,
Yeah.
And so at a certain point, Full Sail made some changes to some of the programs that I was doing for them. And it was kind of like my ability to create beer was kind of gone. And I couldn't deal with the idea that I'd never create a beer again. I had a couple guys that said that, hey, they'd back me if I wanted to do something. I didn't have a whole lot of money, but they said, hey, we're in. And so I decided just to pursue the dream, I guess, and quit my job in April 2012. And a year and a half later, Ecliptic opened here on North Cook Street. First year was pretty much a struggle to find a building. Basically, I had these two guys, two people that were investing for sure, and one guy came in here and ended up coming in here. And by the end, he was my largest investor. And but we basically, these guys also said, hey, this is our money. We want to make money on our money. So we had to invest it in something. So it was getting really close to these guys saying we're done because you can't find a building. And we really couldn't find a building. All right, found a building. Then the landlord would say things like, we want a $150,000 security deposit. It's like, you want to tie up $150,000 of my money for, 5-10 years? It's like, No, we're down. So anyhow, make a long story short, I found this place right before, right for the holidays in 2012, and then in April, signed the lease here, and then proceeded the whole process of getting the city permits, the architect to do the drawings, and the build out started August of 13, and then we opened in October. But basically, it's just I decided I want to have my own brewery, and I did it. Mm-hmm. A lot harder than people think it is. I keep telling brewers I want to have breweries. I'm like, I'll help you all I can, man.
Yeah.
But you need to know.
For sure.
It's not all it's cracked up to be, because here we are now where, I don't really, I have a lot of brewers making beer for me, which is great, because that's what happens. So I don't actually, I still help formulate beers and stuff, but as far as actual brewing of the beer, we got these young, awesome brewers to help me do that,
Can you talk about, what it's like to establish a brewery and, build yourself in a city that's known for beer, and there's, so many other options around here? How do you grow a company? How do you, build a culture?
Right. Obviously, when we opened, I had been brewing for 27 years or something, 28 years, but, I definitely had been around, and I was a known brewer who, so when we opened, it was like, I knew that people would come and check us out, which of course made the, even more stressful because you want it to be right.
Yeah.
Oh, opens new brewery, beer tastes like shit, Oh, bleep! it's interesting because I had some kind of ideas I had for beers. There was a certain beer that I called Spica, named after a star, and it was going to be an unfiltered pilsner. Zwickel pills, they call it, or Keller pills, which is basically very young pilsner. It's designed to be released at about 3 weeks old, and not 6 or 8 weeks like some more traditionally lager pilsners, because it gives it more brightness, a little freshness, a little bit of yeast character. And no one was doing a beer like that, so I decided to call it Spica Hefe pills. Hefe means yeast, but everybody thinks Hefe means wheat. Hefe doesn't mean wheat, but it means yeast. But Widmer's pretty much told everybody on the planet that Hefe means wheat. And I kept beating my head against this wall, and even had brewers come in. What is this? Hefe pills? I'm like, is it a wheat pilsner? I'm like, usually brewers, you know, you should know what Hefe means. They didn't. Anyhow, but back to make a long story short, I mean, that beer eventually turned into Spectra Hoppy Pilsner because no one got Hefe. And I was at Fred Meyer doing a grocery store tasting in our early days and out there repping the brand. And I turned around and looked, and Widmer had totally reframed their entire Hefeweizen just to say Hefe. And I'm like, I give up. We're changing the name. Then I was accused of being racist. So we changed the name again from Spica. Someone says, why are you such a racist name? Called it Spica. And I'm like, oh my God. So bad
can't
name.
Win.
Your style that didn't exist, that I invented, that I thought was going to take the world over. So anyhow, so you have all these ideas, you know, but the brewery was founded on the premise that we're not tied to any tradition. We're not like, we're like Occidental and like Heater Allen are devoted to German style lagers, for instance. We're devoted just to making interesting, fun beers that we taste great. So we make a hazy IPA. We're one of the first couple of breweries after Great Notion started making those hazies to do a hazy here in town. We play. I mean, one thing I did when I was at McMinniman's was they were the first brewery in America to do fruit beers, to the point where they were also was illegal to do fruit beers because no fruit was on the registered list of ingredients that could be used in beer. To the point where somebody at McMinniman's gets this letter and says, "Cease and desist using raspberries in that Ruby beer." You know, it's like, what? It's not on the list. And so McMinniman's actually petitioned what was then the BATF to add these certain fruits to the list, but I really enjoyed brewing with fruit when I was at McMinniman's. The Chutes and Full Sail did not meet what their mantra was about beer styles. They're doing them now though. But anyhow, so I really wanted to brew with fruit. One of the first beers we made was brewed with fresh Riesling juice and called Rigel. And I'm actually helping them again. We squeezed another batch of that. We haven't brewed it for a couple of years, but it'd be fun to do that again. Just a bit of fresh Riesling juice and just added kind of a brightness to the beer, a little bit of subtle fruitiness. Didn't really taste like grapes, but it just had that other flavor. But anyhow, so basically you'll find on tap here, you know, just a range of things from, you know, traditional porter, pills, you know, lots of, like right now we have 3 sours on. Actually, 4 sours. You know, a nectarine sour with Breakside and a tangerine sour, lime, key lime sour, and a peach sour. So. If you like sour beer, come on by.
So you're doing like this project where you're collaborating with a bunch of breweries around, right? Like the 5 years kind of deal?
Yeah, we turned 5 last year, and to celebrate that, I decided to do 5 collaborations this year and invited some of my oldest friends in the business, Garrett Oliver at Brooklyn Brewery, and then Matt Brindleson at Fireson Walker, and then Ben Edmonds from Breakside. I wanted to have a local brewery. I think Breakside's just making great beer, and Ben's a friend, so I invite Ben to be. He's like the new guy, newest friend. And then John Mallett and Larry Mell from Bell's Brewery. We just did this juicy IPA we just brought out 2 weeks ago, which is just we did a bunch of different temperature stuff in the brewing process to try to extract the most juiciness out of the hops as we could. And then the last collaboration will be with the Russian River, and we're making just a kind of a dry hoppy Belgian golden ale, and that'll come out in October.
Okay.
With Vinny and Natalie from the Russian River.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, it's been fun. I was really happy these guys said to do it with me. And we're doing something different. Most collaborations, you go to the brewery, you brew the beer with them, and then you leave, and the beer gets finished, and then they send you a bottle, you know. Where I'm doing it reverse, where it's like, we're all brewers. We know how to make beer, so we collaborate on the recipe, via email, phone, text, whatever, and then I'm getting the brewers to come out to release the beer versus brew the beer. So it's kind of like a different way of looking at it. But I think it's actually more fun because they get to come out, they got to taste the beer, have to celebrate the collaboration versus, throwing some hops in the kettle. It's cool. In Portland, we can do both. Ben could come brew it with us, and then, you know, but the guys in Michigan or California or New York, you know, it's hard to really get out twice.
Yeah.
So I really have to get out once, let's drink it and celebrate, you know.
Have collaborations always been, like, popular among brewers and brewing companies, or is that, like, a newer thing?
No, they've been around for quite a while. I think just the whole idea of like, you know, co-branding each other for like, you know, for a startup brewery, like we were young, there was Stone invited us to do a collaboration. It was like, oh wow, cool, yeah, we're in. You know, it's like, then they're going to drop that in 30 states, you know what I mean, our name on it, you know, so it's a good way to get your name out there, a good way to help startup breweries. You know, if you're going to collaborate with someone, that means you got to believe that you like think they're making some good stuff. You know, you're not going to collaborate with a brewery that you don't respect the work they're doing and stuff like that. So it's fun because it just it allows you to co-brand and it allows you to help each other out and just celebrate the craft beer. You know, there's a lot of you know, everybody's pretty friendly in this business on the brew side for sure. I mean, everybody wants to help everybody to make better beer, make great beer, because the time you walk in, you know, I remember going and when the Shoots first opened, there was a went to the one place in town that had some at least five taps. It was like, whoa, they have five taps, you know. Yeah. And we were just getting ready to open the Shoots like 2 or 3 weeks, and I ordered a beer and from a you know really micro craft brewery, and it was awful. And I could just see where, like, let's say, oh, they're opening one of these microbreweries in Bend soon. I'll try that one. And then they trace that and they go, oh, I'm not going to go to that brewery if this is what it tastes like. It's like, well, that's not the brewery. That wasn't our beer, you know. Yeah. But, I don't know how I got on that tag segment, actually. No idea how I got there. But, oh, just basically helping each other make better beer.
Yeah,
that's really key.
As far as, like, your tap list in here goes, do, like, you keep your kind of like your rotationals on, like your Starburst and all that on, and then like you have like the ones that you don't can, like you come up with those ideas yourself, and or do your brewers come up with them, or you know, I mean, like I haven't seen, I mean, you don't can like Berry Stellar or
no, I mean, we try to have different things here that you can't get outside, because that's what keeps people coming back to the tap house, is because, but, you know, they're not really coming here to drink Starburst. They're coming here to drink what else they can drink, you know.
Yeah.
They might have a Starburst or our flagship. So we have to have stuff that's not available anywhere else but here, or very limited. So, I mean, the Spectras or Pilsner, we make that. Try to make it most of the time. Phobos is a red ale. That's been pretty much on tap since we opened. Kind of provides that medium-flavored malty beer that a lot of people like those red-style beers. So.
Yeah. How do you come up with, like, a new idea for a beer?
Oh, it just depends on, you know, we try to, one thing I've done the last couple of years is really try to get everybody, you know, on the brewery team involved in the beer making process, not just, a lot of breweries just say, you know, I'm the brewmaster, I make the beers, you know, it's like, and I've made a lot of beers in my days, and then the most fun thing is we let one of our brewers create a beer. I guess we're out of it. We had a Saison on tap. I can't believe it's gone already, but oh, it's still here. Make it so Saison. Huh. There's no board. But anyhow, our brewer, Joe Formicello, he was his trying to make a beer, so he wanted to make a Saison, Belgian-style farmhouse beer. So he got to control the entire process. Just like he got to select the malts, select the hops, say how it was going to get made. And I think it's a lot of power and letting your brewers create beers and also involving them in the process, because just there's more buy-in, there's just more, like, you're not just being handed a piece of paper, here, make this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you think of this idea? Like, we're doing this fresh hop lager, which is going to be just a lager beer, like, you know, not a Pilsner, more like, not necessarily a Helles, just like between a Helles and a Pilsner kind of, I guess. You know, we're going to dry hop with some fresh hops when they come off the fields here in the next couple weeks. It's called Astra, and but I pretty much just went to my operations guy and said, here's the alcohol that I'm thinking of, why don't you come up with it?
Yeah.
So I just let him do it, you know. So he's, you know, he gets to make something too.
That's pretty
so
cool for them, probably.
So yeah, so just because whatever style we want to make, I mean, we'll just, you know, research what, the thing that was, there's so many new, what is a style anymore, you know, I mean, people are just doing crazy shit with beer, I mean. It really is like a new dawn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like our Cosmos, which had, you know, we basically dry hopped it with and dry coconut at the same time. You know, this injected coconut right into the tank with the hops. Let it sell out, spit it out with centrifuge. It's like, it was crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
We've been doing it 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Done that, you know?
So on the tour, you talked about a lot about the growth you guys had and like, what's the future for Ecliptic? Where do you guys see yourself? And that kind of jazz.
Well, I mean, we're getting close to maximizing available space here in this building. Like I mentioned, the 15 rail system hasn't been used for about over a year, so it's kind of like in a spot where we could put a couple more tanks in. We have the capacity here at this point to make like a about 27,000-28,000 barrels a year, which is more than we'll do this year. So we have capacity still to grow for another year, at least here. I'm not one that wants to just suddenly go build a huge new brewery somewhere. So that's a lot of my time right now is trying to figure out that, honestly, what I want to do. And I mean, I just know we want to keep making great beer and, you know, give the people what they want, which is, you know, the best way to say business is just follow trends, see what people want to drink, give it to them, you know. But also make it with your own, you know, flair and identity, for sure.
Do you, like, trade for beer, or do you drink any beer from, like, out of state or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm always trying new stuff. Lots of times brewers will come through, drop some beer, and they'll go, oh, what's this? Brewery from, you know, Texas. Oh, okay. We pass them around, try them. You know, I'm always, like, you know, going through the grocery store, go to Belmont Station. I go to Belmont Station probably once a month or another beer shop and just, all right, what's new? You know, and just buy five or six things and bring them home and try them and see what people are doing.
Right now.
But beer's really, I mean, lots of ways, beer's about as fun as it gets right now. I mean, people are obviously doing wacky stuff, which I don't quite get, but we've done wacky stuff too. So, you know, it's like, you know, like the whole milkshake thing with lactose. That's not my thing, but people want it. There's other breweries making it for them, so this is too sweet for me. But definitely, I mean, people are definitely pushing the boundaries of what beer is, for sure.
Yeah, I've seen a couple, like, East Coast breweries do, like, slushy beer and stuff like that. It's, like, weird. Or, like, they'll do, my buddy's telling me that how they make it is, like, they'll fruit it afterwards. Like, after they brew it, they throw the fruit in there or something, and then they can it. So, like, if you let it, it's, like, get warm, then the cans will explode and stuff like that because the fruit will start to ferment.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's negative.
Yeah.
I'll open my... No. Yeah, I mean, we back add fruit to a lot of beers in the aging tank, but we also give it the time to settle out and fall through the beer so that we're not putting fresh fruit into a bottle or can. The yeast gets reactivated, it could blow up.
Yeah.
No one likes blowing up when they're drinking beer, you know. Blow it up, you know.
You guys gonna be at Haze Days, right? Your beer.
What's that?
The Haze Days festival thing this weekend.
I haven't heard about it.
Oh, you haven't? Uh-huh. I swear you guys were in it last year, maybe.
I haven't heard about Haze Days. Where's that?
It's in downtown Portland. Like on Lardo. At Lardo,
Lardo.
It's at.
Oh, yeah, we did it last year. I'm sure our Phaser was probably there. Phaser Hazy.
Yeah.
Yes, we're making that one. You know, like that. It was a seasonal. Phaser was a seasonal we did a year ago in 2018 in the winter. And just couldn't make enough of it.
Yeah, I remember it coming out like, oh, this is kind of like a one-time deal. And then, like, all of a sudden, it's just all the time.
Well, then in the fall of that year, we added that extra capacity last year, so with a bigger brew house. So we decided just to bring it back as its own specialty beer, but not... we don't push it in the big grocery store chains like Safeway, Fred Meyer. We have not asked to be on the shelf. It's more in independent stores like, say, New Seasons or bottle shops like John's Market or Belmont Station or whatever. And so we're keeping it around, but it's definitely a limited amount. But we actually got a trademark on Phaser, which just blew me away that the Star Trek franchise didn't come back at you and say, that's our name, you know. But we have Phaser trademark now, so.
It's pretty popular beer, I feel like.
No, it does really well for us. I mean, we just make a certain amount every week, and that's what we have. And definitely growth opportunities with that beer, without question. And I think hazies are here to stay. I really think you can walk out here, you know, like last night, and you just look down the bar, and you can see who's drinking a hazy because it's pretty apparent, just, you know, to kind of stand out, you know. And you're definitely seeing half the bar drinking the hazy. So I don't think that this beer style, a lot of brewers, all this will be dead tomorrow. But I think brewed IPA is dead, but. Looks like the brute thing didn't catch, but the hazy thing definitely caught on.
I feel like within like the last 3 years, it's like really caught fire.
The hazy styles were popular in the New England area. And, you know, as we know, Great Notion was the first one in the town to kind of say we're going to make these beers.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, great job, but it took a while for all of us else to come and say, oh, maybe we need to be making a hazy. And to the point now where everybody's making a hazy. I mean, Sierra Nevada has a hazy.
Yeah.
Hazy little thing. You know?
Yeah. I feel like beer, people that don't drink beer all the time, that's the kind of beer they go to. Like when they see it, like my girlfriend, for example, is like, she doesn't really drink all that much beer, but like if we go out somewhere, she's like, oh, I'll take the hazy.
Yeah. I think they're, because the fact they're just, you know, full of hot flavor. Not bitter at all.
Yeah.
I mean, to put the moniker IPA on that style was kind of weird because one would say this isn't an IPA at all, but I guess it's a hazy IPA, so there's different standards, right? So they're not known for their bitterness at all.
No, they're super smooth, super juicy.
No, yeah. I went to a family reunion on my wife's side in California last week and took some beer down, and all the non-beer drinkers were drinking Phaser. Yeah. They weren't drinking Starburst or drinking Phaser. Yeah.
That's cool. Solids are really into astronomy, and I know this ecliptic is I don't know, a lot has to do with astronomy, like the names and like the atmosphere in the building. Can you talk about your passion for astronomy, why you wanted to bring that into the brewing world?
Yeah, you bet. I wanted to have a theme for the brewery, and I'm just kind of astronomy buff. I haven't used my telescope in 5 years since I opened this thing, which is sad. Maybe next year. Get back out there. I don't even know if it works anymore. But I would go to star parties where you go out and hang out with other like-minded individuals who have telescopes and look at faint, fuzzy galaxies and clusters and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to have an astronomy-themed brewery because I thought it would be fun, and someone really wasn't doing that. So then the name, it all kind of keyed around the name and what was the name going to be. And a friend suggested Ecliptic early on, and it's kind of a chunky name. When we first opened, people couldn't pronounce it. Eclipse? Elliptic? E-C-lip. But now it's I think it rolls off people's tongues now. So anyway, I really wanted to have unlike a lot of breweries that go off and start their own brewery, like the Gigantic guys who, they both came from brew pubs. We're not doing a restaurant. No food, no food. Whereas I wanted to actually celebrate food because I think that a place, a brewery, restaurant, brewery, pub, whatever, that has good beer and good food is around. But I wanted to have great food. I wanted to have seasonal products that, throughout the year, that when certain things became available, like right now, heirloom tomatoes, awesome.
Mm.
It costs a crap load of money, but they sure do taste good for the 3 or 4 weeks they're around. So
yeah.
They splurge it. I can pay $6 a pint for beer. I can pay $2 for a tomato. Anyhow, that's my opinion. Thank you. But so I really wanted to have a food focused brew pub, and so that was the whole concept when we first started, was really focused on the food, where I would be at brewery pubs, and someone would walk in and say things like, "All right, you're gonna have one beer, then we're gonna go get me a cocktail at that other place," or, "All right, you can have one beer, but then we're gonna go get some real food somewhere." It's like, I'm like, "Well, you're in a restaurant, why aren't you buying the food?" Well,
yeah.
The food's not bringing them in. So my goal, my motto is the beer will bring them in, the food will bring them back. So. And we're known for having really good food here, so I'm really proud of that. And then the fact, the person said, "I want to have a cocktail." Okay, great. Well, what cocktail do you want?
Yeah,
full bar.
For sure.
A lot of people are like, "Well, it's all be about the beer." And I'm like, "Well, no. I mean, you're just sending that. And it could be man or woman. I mean, who likes the cocktails more than beer?
Mm-hmm.
I know both. I have friends who guys who just don't like beer.
Yeah.
Their wives love it. It's just so. It's like I wanted to make sure you could come here, get a good tequila, get a good gin tonic or what have you, bourbon. So for me, that was important to have the full experience here, so that no one was leaving just because they couldn't get something here.
No, I think that's huge. I live in Camas, and Grains of Wrath just opened up, and they have really good food. They have cocktails, and I like their beer a lot too. So I think it brings a lot of people in just having all that.
Oh sure, yeah. Mike does a good job up there.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, another guy just went and said, "I'm opening a brewery." And that's what I saw him. He's like, a lot of work.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work, It's worth it, though. I mean, at this point, it's worth it. I mean, we're a few years in now, so it's not so stressful as it was the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, I don't know. It's cool.
Right on. I think I'm out of questions. Do you have any more, man?
No, just thanks for your time.
Oh, your time, man. Sorry I was a little late.
No worries.
Yeah, I just wanted to think about my daughter real fast. But.
Yeah.